Thank you for listening to this message from the pulpit of Coon Rapids Baptist Church in the suburbs of Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Let's go to Matthew chapter number 20 in our scriptures this morning. Matthew chapter number 20 in the Word of God here. And I want to begin by reading these verses that we'll be considering here this morning. Matthew, the first of the Gospels, Matthew chapter 20. We're going to begin in verse 17 down through 28. Hope you'll take the time to open your scriptures and see what God's word has to say here. Let's pick it up in verse 17. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death. And shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify him. And the third day he shall rise again. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? She saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They say unto him, We are able. He saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. One of the ladies in our general neighborhood here is expecting her first child. And I heard the other day that they were putting a dresser together to be used for the baby. And there's all those exciting things with that first child that they're preparing for and that they're getting ready for. There's excitement and there's that anticipation that parents have. And many times when they think about that child, there are all sorts of dreams that they have, right? There are hopes of those times when they can snuggle that little one, and they're looking forward to the story times and reading that favorite book that they read with their parents, and they're looking forward to vacations where they'll take their kids on certain trips and birthday parties, and maybe they're looking forward to that first day of school and the excitement of that, and maybe they're anticipating their child someday being involved in playing a certain sport that they enjoyed. There's just so much anticipation when you think about your children and you think about the future and what you want for them for the future. Things that you want them to experience, things that you want them to enjoy, things that you want them to do. And most parents really think about those sorts of things. Mothers, what do you want for your children? What mother doesn't want greatness for her child? What parent doesn't want greatness? I mean, who really wants to say, you know, I hope my kids grow up to be nobodies and losers? Nobody says that. Nobody thinks that. Everybody would want greatness for their children. Parents make plans. And they make sacrifices. And they put plans in place so that their child can achieve and go further than they did with their lives. And what we find here in this passage is a passage where there is a mother with two grown sons, and this mother is seeking big things for her boys. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a little bit intrigued by that. I think it's normal for a mother to seek great things for her children. I'm not so sure that it's good when a mother seeks great things for her grown sons. I mean, if you're a grown man and mom's still got to take care of you, there's some concerns that are there, right? And mommy here is going to bat for her sons. I mean, it would have been an interesting thing when I was thinking about coming to pastor at Coon Rapids Baptist if my mom would have been the one to contact you and said, you know what, you should consider Nathan. It would have been a little bit weird. I mean, that's kind of interesting. And so here's mommy going to bat for her two little boys that are grown men and saying, I want them to be on your right hand and on your left. And so it's a little bit intriguing here that she wants this for them and that she would actually go and ask for these positions. She wants a position of honor, and no doubt with this position of honor is going to come leadership. Even today, sitting beside a dignitary would be a big thing. I mean, sometimes just sitting by a visitor, a guest, grandpa, grandma, you know, I get to sit by grandma, I get to sit by grandpa. You know, those are big deals. And she wants that for her sons, to sit on the left hand and to sit on the right hand. All of that honor and all of the leadership that would go with it. And Jesus responds to this mother, and he responds to his disciples here. And as he does so, Jesus teaches now what leadership really is. This is an important thing for us as a church right now, because we're talking about our second core value over there. A Christian builds something, and we are saying and reminding ourselves that a Christian who is building other people is really a leader. They are leading other people closer to Jesus Christ. And the Bible teaches us that if you want to consider yourself to be a full-fledged follower of Jesus Christ, that you ought to be involved in leadership where you are building other people up, edifying them. Are you involved in that? And so when Jesus talks about here and explains what leadership is, we want to know what it is. We want to know what he's going to say about this matter. He's going to define leadership, and in fact, he's going to call it servant leadership. And that's the truth that I want to challenge you with from God's Word, and that God's Word wants to challenge you with today, is that you have to lead by serving. If you're going to fulfill that second core value, if you're going to be a follower of Christ that is a leader, you're going to have to lead other people by serving them. And Jesus Christ in this passage gives us four reasons that we ought to be motivated to lead other people by serving. Today, I wonder, when you think of leadership, what do you think of? You think of power. And if I'm a leader, I have raw power. You think of leadership, and maybe you think about decision making, and you're the one who gets to make the decisions about a matter. You think of leadership, and you think of an elite status. Everybody else is down here, but you're a part of an elite group because you're a leader. What do you think of when you think of leadership? Today, Jesus Christ in this passage is going to challenge you that when you think of leadership, it's not power and you're way up here and everybody else is way down here, but instead it's the opposite, where you think of yourself as way down here, serving other people. If you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to be a servant to other people. So are you thinking about leadership that way? Are you a servant? Are you somebody who is content to be a servant? Are you somebody who is involved in serving other people and building other people up? Let's look at this passage and see if we can find four reasons to be that kind of a leader. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for this intriguing story that teaches your truth. And Lord, we all need help with this. We'll see that in the passage. Lord, help us to lead by serving. I pray that your word would accomplish what you desire for it to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Jesus Christ is talking here, and in the first principle, he's going to tell us this, is that leadership comes through suffering. Leadership comes through suffering. So here were James and John, and their mommy was asking for glory and honor for her leadership for her boys. And let's notice Jesus' response in verse number 22. Matthew chapter 20 and verse number 22. But Jesus answered and said, ye know not what ye ask. somebody ever involved in something and you look at them and you think they don't have a clue what they're getting into. They don't have any idea in the world what that means. And here, this mother is asking this for her sons, and Jesus is basically saying that, you guys have a clue of what you're really asking. And he goes on and he explains, this is what's involved if you want to be in this position. He says this, are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? Now, when we think of drinking out of a cup, we are thinking about this sort of thing here. And I'll use that opportunity to get a drink. We think of that. What does Jesus mean when he says, can you drink out of the same cup that I drink out of? Drinking out of the cup was referring to what was in the cup, that you had to partake of what was in the cup. Within a short period of time, Jesus Christ is going to have another conversation, this time with God the Father, and he's going to pray to God the Father, and he's going to say this, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And what was the cup? The cup was the suffering of the cross. And so the cup referred to what was in the cup. It was something that you had to do, something that was coming, and it was suffering that was coming. Jesus says, the cup that I'm drinking of, that I have to drink, is the cup of suffering. Are you ready to drink of that cup? And then he says, are you able to be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? Baptism is immersion. It's being plunged into something. And Jesus Christ is going to be plunged into suffering. He is going to go through the most agonizing suffering, dying one of the most agonizing deaths known to mankind. He says, that's what I'm going to be plunged into. Are you ready to drink that cup of suffering? Are you ready to be baptized into that kind of suffering as well? And we understand and we look here and we understand that Jesus Christ is saying that leadership comes from suffering. We have to realize that that is going to be a part of it. You have to be willing to go through exactly what Jesus Christ went through. If you want the glory and the honor and the leadership that goes with it, with what Jesus got, then you have to get it the same way Jesus gets it, and that comes by suffering. See, Paul said in the New Testament, if we suffer with him, we shall reign with him. Suffering is a path to leadership. It is a part of leadership here. Sometimes people see, don't they? They see some famed politician. They see a great athlete that has been successful and is making lots of money. They see some powerful businessman and they look at that person with all sorts of envy. They wish that they could have all that person had. They wish that they could enjoy their status and their wealth and all of that. But they're not willing to put the work into it to get there that these other people put into it. And that's what Jesus Christ is saying to these disciples. You want all the glory. You want all the splendor. Are you willing to go through the agony and the suffering that it takes to get there? Leadership comes from suffering. And to be honest, if I can say it this way, we often suffer by serving. And he's going to be talking about that here in this passage here. There's a great deal of suffering that takes place when we serve. God's given us deacons in our church, and he's given us three men that wonderfully serve in that way here in our church. The very word deacon means a servant. The Bible doesn't give deacons decision-making authority. The Bible calls deacons to be servants here. They're men who give of themselves to work and to serve. And they're men that work and they're busy in their jobs and their lives, and yet they take upon themselves extra service, extra ways to be involved in serving in the church. And it's extra time and it's extra effort. You think to the Old Testament, you think of that great leader, Joshua. Man, you read through the book of Joshua and he was a great leader. And there is Joshua brings the children of Israel into the promised land, and they have the victory there in the promised land. You say, what makes Joshua such a great leader? And you find that what made Joshua such a great leader is mentioned in Exodus and Numbers and Joshua chapter number 1 is the fact that Joshua is multiple times called Joshua, the servant of Moses. For 40 years, he was a servant, and that prepared him for leadership. You think about a man by the name of Elisha. Elisha was a mighty prophet of God, wasn't he? And here is Elisha as a prophet of God. He did twice the amount of miracles of his predecessor, Elijah. Twice the amount. A great prophet of God. And what do we find? A description of Elisha. We find him in 2 Kings chapter number 3, I believe it is, and verse number 11. He is described as the man who poured water on Elijah's hands. He poured water. He was a servant. Servant is that pathway to leadership. With God, the way up is always down. Show us somebody who is greedy for a position of leadership, for power and for clout and for that decision-making ability, and that person is not yet ready for leadership. But show us somebody who has suffered in service as Christ has, and we'll find somebody that is far more ready for leadership. When they have suffered in service, it is challenging. It is difficult here. And if our church is going to train people to build other people, train people to the place where they become leaders in other people's lives, we are going to tell them that, listen, if you're going to be a leader, it's not just a position of power and authority. It is a position of service. And with that service will come suffering. There will be some hardships. There will be some difficulties that you and I are going to face if we're going to be servants of the Lord Jesus Christ and serve other people with our lives. It's going to be challenging. We need to tell people that. And that's why it takes a certain level of maturity to be that kind of a servant, because who wants to naturally suffer? You know, I mean, if you're going to be a servant and build other people and you're going to serve in the local church, there are going to be times in which you serve and other people don't. And that's going to hurt. There are going to be times in which you serve and nobody says thank you. There are going to be times in which you serve and nobody even notices that you did it. Nobody even thinks about the fact that you've been busy in this area. Nobody even realizes the amount of time that you spent in that. And they're not even going to say thank you, let alone even realize that somebody did something. They're just going to assume that it happened on its own. You're going to suffer in these different ways. If you're going to serve Jesus Christ, you're going to suffer at times because you're going to give up other things that you wanted to do in order to have time to serve. You're going to make sacrifices. If you're going to serve other people, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be times in which, you know what, they're going to go through the buffet line when we have those Sunday noon lunches. And you know what, they're going to get through and get that first piece of pie and that first piece of cake and that first go around at all the meat dishes that everybody brings. And by the time you get through the line, there might not be any of those meat dishes left. And that's part of, that could be suffering. That somebody else gets those and you don't. And Jesus Christ talks about here, you want the leadership, there are going to be challenges to it. It is going to be difficult. Listen, I don't do you any favors to say, hey, listen, you need to be a servant leader here in our church, and it's always going to be easy, it's always going to be rosy, it's always going to be glorious. There are going to be challenges here. There are going to be difficulties that you're going to face. And Jesus asked if these boys were really willing to go through what he experienced. And they said, yes, we're able. And Jesus noted, okay, you will suffer. And you don't get past Acts chapter number 12 before James, one of the brothers, is already executed with the sword. John lives to a ripe old age, but even John is exiled to the Isle of Patmos in persecution for his faith. In varying ways, these boys did drink of that cup. Leadership comes from suffering. But let's look here at verse number 24 and we find another interesting truth. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. Second principle that we learn is that leadership that is all about advancing oneself is not well received by others. Must have been an interesting thing to be one of those other 10 disciples, wasn't it? Walking down the road and here all of a sudden mommy comes along and asks this request for her two boys. And they heard it. I wonder if they were thinking, wish my mom were here. You know, were they thinking, I was going to ask that tomorrow and he beat me to the punch. What were they thinking? Maybe they were a little bit jealous, or maybe they were just shocked. I can't believe that these guys would ask this. I mean, that's bold. That's selfish just to want that spot here. They're upset. And you know what, when leadership is all about position and when leadership is all about power and advancing myself, that kind of leadership is not well received. Because people can tell if a leader is all about himself or herself. And few people like a leader that is all about himself. They don't. Employees know when a boss is just out for himself. They can tell when he's just using people as stepping stones. They can tell when he cares more about a buck than he cares about them. And if you want to be disliked as a leader, then be a leader for all that you can get out of it. Be a leader for yourself here. Be a leader that expects everyone that's under you, that you're leading, if I can say it that way, to serve you, to advance you. Lead in such a way that drinks the life out of all of your people in order to advance your own cause. And people aren't going to like that. But be a people who loves other people and serves them, and people will love them. Love that kind of leader. It's attractive, it's warm, it's inviting, it's kind. A friend of mine was speaking with a coworker that was at retirement age. And they were talking about, you know, retirement and being able to retire. And he was curious. How can you retire? You seem to be able to retire in a good position. You're doing well. You're going to have a comfortable retirement. How is that possible? And they were talking, and the guy said, well, you know, I've been saving a modest amount each year. And yeah, I know, but that's nothing extreme here. How are you so well off now? Well, you know, I started when I was young, and I put some away early on so it could grow and grow with interest and stuff like that. Yeah, I get that as well. But how are you able to be so well off as you retire? He says, well, our company that we work for here, he says, I put away money, and the boss matched it dollar for dollar. I would save a dollar, and the boss would put a dollar into those retirement plans. And as I was listening to him tell me this story about it, I was thinking, you know, here is this boss, this owner of this company, and no doubt his company is making a profit, his company was doing well, and he's taking a portion of his profits and he's investing them back into his employees, investing them back into his people. That's leadership that serves other people, and it makes a difference here. People they love those kinds of leaders that care about them. When we challenge people to be servant leaders, we are calling them to do something that's actually going to endear them to the hearts of those that they serve even more. Have you thought about that? When we as a church teach people to lead by serving, what we're really doing is giving them the tools so that they can lead people, and the people that they lead will love them and will care about them and will follow their leadership. We'll be interested in them. If we teach people that leadership is all just about power and clout and authority and decision making here, then we will alienate them from those that they lead. But instead, we actually help them in their leadership. Leadership isn't always well received anyway, but when a leader serves his people, it's far greater. It's received in a far greater way. Adkinson, I mentioned, he wrote a book on leadership that I've really enjoyed. And he noted that when a leader meets the needs of other people, he is always going to be in demand. Because that kind of a leader, follow his logic here. He says that kind of a leader is an extinct breed. It's rare when he meets the needs of his people. And anything that is rare is valued. Leaders that are all about themselves are a dime a dozen. They're all over our planet. But leaders that think about other people are a rare thing, and people want them. He went on to explain that few followers resent being served. Man, I just hate that leader who served me. Nobody says that. Few followers conspire to overthrow a servant. A servant, there's nothing to overthrow. They're not going to conspire to overthrow a leader who is serving them, who is ministering to them. It just builds that relationship. Leadership expert John Maxwell tells the story of Jim Sinegal. Jim Sinegal founded Costco. Many of you shop at Costco. And he built Costco back in the day on the premise of taking care of employees and customers, and the business will grow. He really felt like if we take care of our employees and we take care of our customers, the business is going to grow. When he was CEO of Costco, his salary was in the bottom 10% of CEOs of his kind of company. And he said, you know what, I don't think it's appropriate for a CEO to be making 100, 200, 300 times the amount of money that the average guy on the floor is making. It's just inconsistent. And he made this statement, when you try to be top dog, you don't create loyalty. He didn't want to be top dog. He wanted to care about his people. He wanted to be investing in his people. Leadership by serving is important because leadership that is all about advancing yourself isn't going to be well received. And if it isn't going to be well received, then you're not going to have leadership. They're going to walk away from you. They're not going to follow you. They're not going to listen to what you say. And so if we can teach ourselves and teach people to lead by serving them, people will listen to what they have to say. They will care about their leadership. But I want you to see a third truth in this passage. Look at verse 25. But Jesus called them unto him and said, you know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Number three, leadership that is about service is countercultural. It's countercultural. If you had an opportunity to be a leader in our church, if you were going to be a leader in our church, what would that leadership look like to you? I'm going to have a leadership. I'm going to lead in this area. What would you be doing? What would you be involved in? Again, when you think of, I'm going to have leadership in our church, that must mean that I have power. That must mean that I'm over people. That must mean I'm in charge of money. That must mean that I've got this elite status here. Is that what we think of? Because that's what our culture naturally thinks of when they think of leadership here. And Jesus Christ says it's far different. And many times the world's concepts have infiltrated our thinking. If we were to open a secular magazine and to look through all the different articles on leadership, how many of them would be articles on servant leadership? How many of them would be articles on other subjects instead? The power, the clout, the management, the decisions, the luxuries, the benefits of being a leader. No, we don't think about leaders being servants. Leaders are people who have servants working for them. It's very countercultural to say that leadership is service. Let's think about taking a young person. Here's a mom and a dad. Their children are old enough that they can leave them at home for a few hours. And we're going to take one of the children and they're going to be in charge while mom and dad are gone. They're going to be the leader while mom and dad are gone. Boy, girl, somebody's in charge, somebody's the leader. What is the concept that is going through the mind of that child when they are in charge, when mom and dad are gone? Yeah, you're smiling because you know. You're laughing because you know it in your mind. I mean, is it in their mentality that, you know what, since mom and dad are gone, I'm probably going to be the one who's going to make supper for everybody else while they are busy playing. And I'm going to be the one who is going to clean up the kitchen and the dining room after they're gone and do the dishes while everyone else is playing. And I'm going to be the one who is going to have to work and not be able to sit down and just relax and have fun while everybody else is playing. No, they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about, you know what, I'm the one who makes the rules. And I'm the one who, if you don't behave, I get to call dad and mom on the cell phone and say, so-and-so is not behaving. And I'm the one who gets to stay up late and wait for mom and dad to get home while everybody else goes to bed. That's how we think, isn't it? You can remember when you were the one, unless you were the baby in the family, who got to be in charge of everybody else. That's just the way it is in our minds. And so servant leadership is countercultural. Jesus said that the princes or the rulers of the Gentiles, verse 25, they're all about dominating. They're all about authority. They're all about subduing people and lording over them. It's all about being the boss and who has the power here, controlling the masses. And Jesus teaches the exact opposite. It's countercultural. We're inherently sinful people. I mean, it's part of the very core of our sin that we're selfish people. Sin and selfishness seem to go hand in hand. We sin because we're selfish, because we want that item. We want to feel a certain way. We don't like this. And so we sin because we're only thinking about ourselves instead of what our parents or our leaders or what our God or what God's Word has said to us in our lives. We're selfish people. We're thinking about ourselves. instead of thinking about how we can serve other people, our world, not only ourselves, but our world is inherently self-centered. You know, we hear more and more about children not being able to be told no. What kind of a world that is going to produce? Children are taught that life is all about you. Stores say that the customer is always right. They're not. We get a job to advance our career. We get married because I want that person to make me happy. I can buy the car that I like. I do what I want on the weekends. I can have all sorts of apps so that I can listen to the music that I want. I can have TV on demand to watch what shows I want when I want them. I don't have to rearrange my schedule anymore to watch a television program. I can live whatever lifestyle I want to live. And if we market it right, selfishness sells everything. If it's something that makes your life better and appeals to you, it will sell. Someone recently said that culture is just the true religion of the people lived out in everyday life. It's what people truly believe coming out, and that's exactly what we have today in America. Naturally and culturally, we think of ourselves, not service. We're not thinking about other people. In the core of who we are, we're selfish. The core of our culture is that we're selfish. It's all about me. It's not about serving other people. And it's challenging in the church as well. We think of the church as all about me and what I can get out of it as well. Our culture is selfish, and Jesus teaches service. Walk into a company. On the wall, they have an organizational chart. All right? Flow of organization. Where's the leader at? The top of the chart, right? It's our mentality that, and I'm not saying that is completely wrong, but it definitely shows that we think of the leader at the top instead of thinking as the leader, as the servant here. Jesus' way is a wonderful way, but it's countercultural. It's totally different than what the princes of the Gentiles would think here. Forbes magazine tells a story on their leaderboard article of a leader who had arrived. His name is Ken Langone, if I'm pronouncing his last name right, and he and two other men founded Home Depot. Maybe you shop at Home Depot. They tell us in the story that Ken is not out to impress. He's 82, now 83 years of age. But it's interesting what they tell us about this leader. They tell us that he has an office on the 22nd floor of a Manhattan office complex. His office, and they show us the pictures, is crowded with memorabilia from his life and successes. He has pictures of himself with his co-founders, and they're at the Olympic Games together, enjoying being able to go there. He's got an autographed baseball from Joe DiMaggio. He's got a book written by himself. He's got a framed issue of Forbes magazine that talks about himself some 30 years ago or so. He's got a picture frame sent to him by Leaders Magazine. And this picture has him on the inside, and the picture frame has three little figurines bowing down to his picture. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Bowing down to him. He served on the board of the New York Stock Exchange for 5 years, and he's a billionaire. The closest thing to service that you'll read in the article is a small mention of the fact that he's donated $200 million for a premier hospital that bears his name in New York City, but he also gets to chair the board that goes with that, name it after himself. That's the vast majority of the article is about the success and the perks of a man who's arrived as an 82-year-old leader. In fact, the article is subtitled this, "The Seat of Power." That's how our world thinks of it. And I'm not belittling the man in any way, but I'm just showing you how the world portrays successful leadership. Forbes also produces a list of the 75 most powerful people in the world. They say there's 7.5 billion people, and so this is one of the most powerful people for every 100 million people on earth. And to make the list, in case you're trying to be on their list, here's the four things that you've got to be successful in. The list is based on how many people, how much money, how much area, and how much you use your power. How many people do you have power over? How much money do you have power over? How much area do you have power over? And how much do you use the power that you have? And you can make it on the list of the top 75 most powerful people in the world. John Maxwell, who teaches on leadership, said he was teaching in a developing country and he was trying to teach this principle of servant leadership. He was trying to teach these leaders, and they were all government officials, all right, in a developing country. He was trying to teach them to be servant leaders. And as he taught this principle to them, he was just amazed at how everybody was squirming in their chair. There was just an obvious look in the audience that the audience was uncomfortable with what he was saying. And so he finished up his lecture and he went back to his place where he was staying, and his host was there, and he was talking to his host and he was saying, you know, this was really odd. Here I am teaching these government officials in this country about being servant leaders and how to serve their people. And he says, what's going on here? And the host says, yeah, I bet they were uncomfortable, because he says, I bet more than half of them killed somebody to get their position of leadership in this country. There's a big difference between killing to get your leadership and serving to get your leadership. We lead by serving other people. Are you a leader who serves that way? A man by the name of Leroy and his wife had a group of 20 men that came over to their house for supper one night. A few of the men had come and they'd gone down to the lake and they'd fished out 40 fish. And they fried them up, and they had just a lovely meal for these 20 men that came there. They finished off the meal with gallons of homemade ice cream and enjoyed it. And as they got done stuffing themselves with all this good food, one of the guests says, you know what, we'd love to help you clean up. And the men, yes, we'll help. And in a moment's notice, all the men were jumping up and they were clearing the table and washing the dishes and straightening up the chairs and all that stuff. But it was interesting that Leroy watched something take place. These were grown men, and he watched as these men had sprung to action, except one man. One man walked over to the window there in the living room of their house, pulled out the drapes, and hid behind them. He literally stood behind the drapes. He watched, Leroy watched this take place until everybody found the assignment that they were busy doing. Everybody was assigned a task and everybody was going to work. And once everybody was busy and had their tasks, he came out from behind the curtains, found a chair and a magazine, and sat down to read, doing nothing. And Leroy said how interesting it was that he was one of the men who was most enjoying the meal and most just pigging out on all the food that was there. What kind of lack of servanthood is in a man that would hide from that simple task of cleaning up after the meal? Servant leadership, it's just not in our culture today. Scripture teaches that the way up is down. A few chapters over, Matthew 23, verse 11, I'll read it to you. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. You see, what it really does is it comes down to this. What is your definition of leadership? What is it? Is your definition of leadership, I'm a leader for what I can get out of it, for what I can benefit out of it? Or do you say, you know what, my definition of leadership is, I am here to see my people grow and thrive. I'm here for them. It comes down to your basic definition of leadership. And Jesus' definition is countercultural. It goes against the way our world seems to work. It goes against the way people think. It goes against the way we naturally, sinfully are. But there's one more truth that I want you to see here, brought out in our text, Matthew chapter 20. And let's look at verse 28. Even as, let's pick it up, verse 27, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant, even as, just as, the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Number four, leadership that is about service is modeled by Christ. It's modeled by Christ. If today you're involved in serving other people, if today you're involved in leadership, I wonder, do you ever get tired? I wonder, do you ever get frustrated in your leadership? I wonder, do you ever get weary at times in serving other people? I wonder if it's ever challenging. If it is, this verse 28 tells us that the key to that is taking a look at our Savior. Jesus Christ modeled it. He was a servant leader. And you've got to look at that. We look at the passage here, and it started out, the context starts off back in verse number 18. Would you look back there and see what Jesus Christ tells about his leadership? Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed. You know what that word betrayed means, don't you? It means that somebody that you know, it means that somebody that you've loved, it means that somebody that you've ministered to, it means that somebody that you've served and invested in has turned against you. It might be a friend, it might be a family member, it might be a church member, it might be a Christian, and that person turns on you and does harm to you. Have you ever served and seen that happen, experienced that happening in your life? Where you've invested in somebody and you poured your heart and soul into them and they've turned around and stabbed you in the back. They've turned around and walked away from everything that you've invested in them. And you know what? It hurts and it's disappointing and it can be something that zaps your energy and discourages you and you say, forget it, I quit. I invested everything in this person and they walked away. And listen, if you have that feeling as you minister to other people, Jesus Christ experienced it as he invested in a person for 3 some years and that very person betrayed him. Jesus Christ has been there. Would you look back at verse number 18? It says, and betrayed unto the chief priests and unto the scribes. Have you ever considered the irony of this being the chief priests? These are the leading priests. They would have considered the high priest, and sometimes they would get deposed by the authorities. And so there would be a couple high priests, even though one was ruling at the time. And so here were these very top of the top people who would claim to believe God's Old Testament word, and they are rejecting God's Messiah. They are rejecting Jesus Christ. These are supposed to be the spiritual of the spiritual, and they would reject Jesus Messiah. And listen, it may be that when you're serving God, it may be that other people will shock you and surprise you, that they would stand against you as you would try to serve God. And if that happens, understand, it happened to Jesus Christ as well. The text also goes on in verse number 19, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge him. And you may be mocked. You may go out and try to serve the Lord, and you may try to lead others in serving the Lord, and you may be fun of for what you claim, and you may be made fun of for what you're trying to do and for what you believe. You may be mocked. And Jesus Christ is even crucified. He dies to serve other people. And to be honest, ministering to other people in some senses will kill you. You will have to die daily. There will be times in which you say, I want to do this, but in order to serve people, I'm going to have to die to what I want in order to serve other people. And it's going to happen more than once in your life. It may be that you're going to have to die daily in areas of your life to serve other people. You're going to have to give up the things that you want. You're going to have to give up your passions. You're going to have to give up a life of ease and luxury. You're going to have to die to those different things, just like Jesus Christ came to die in order to serve other people. He didn't come to be ministered to. He came to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. This summer we'll be getting together with some family for a few days. And as we get together with some family, there's going to be quite a variety of ages and different walks of life there. There's going to be young family with little kids, and there's going to be young couples with no kids, and there's going to be college-age singles, and there's going to be families with older kids, and then there's going to be folks that are retired and very active, and folks that are retired but maybe not so active. And here all the family is getting together to do some of these different things, and then it comes down to, what are we going to do? And there's a big difference in all of those different stages of life. And guess what? Somebody's not going to get to do what they want to do. It's going to happen. And somebody's going to have to say, you know what, I'm okay with that. They're going to have to die to their desires. They're going to have to give up what they want to do with their lives. Listen, that's just part of serving. And we look at Jesus Christ. And if you want to, you can go back to that passage in Isaiah 52 and 53 and see all that Jesus Christ did as that suffering servant. You can go to Philippians chapter number 2, verses 5 through 10, how he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And he's that servant. And as a result, God highly exalts him. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. If we are a church that believes in becoming followers of Jesus Christ, then follow him, even when the suffering is challenging, even when the serving is challenging and difficult in your lives. So I listen today, I'm wondering, do you see leadership as an opportunity to serve? And what are you doing to serve and to lead other people in our local church here? If you would be like Jesus Christ, then every Christian in here ought to have a consistent way in which you serve other people, in which you serve other believers. We often talk about church as being a time when we come to worship God. And that's an important element. But do you know that one of the key aspects and mentalities of worshiping God is that we worship God by serving other people? Do you know that when you give in the money in the offering plate, we do not have an elevator that takes that money directly to God's presence? It doesn't beam me up, Scotty. I mean, it doesn't just whoom and fly up to the clouds of heaven. It doesn't do that. But the money that you give in worship to God meets the needs of people. Because see, we worship God by serving people. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25 talks about the importance of being together with God's people, coming to church. Why? So that we can minister to other people. If you're going to have a mentality of worship, understand that the Bible's mentality of, I worship God by serving other people. That's the way it works. Let us be a church that serves other people. Otto von Bismarck said this, hounds follow those that feed him. Do you feed other people? Do you serve other people? Some others, if you want your children to be great, what should you do? Teach your children from a young age to be servants. It'll make them great because they'll be following the example of Christ. They'll be countercultural. They'll be liked by others. And they will advance through that suffering and through that agony. Dr. Paul Rees said that if you want a picture of success as heaven measures it, don't look for some big band that's playing some sort of big anthem to celebrate a person. If you want for a picture of success, instead listen for the tiny little tingle of water sloshing in a basin as the Son of God in all of His splendor humbles Himself to wash the dirt from the feet of the disciples. That's greatness. And so I ask you today, will you be someone who leads other people in our church and who leads them by serving them?
Visit us at 11164 Hanson Boulevard or online at coonrapidsbaptist.org.